I was going to say, for those of you who actually pay attention to my sermons, you know that I've actually preached on that passage a number of times over the years, usually from where we find it. The author of the book of Hebrews quotes that exactly, and that place where God scripts God's heart, God's law within our hearts, and we don't need to be teaching one another that we will all know God, this new covenant that's coming, and some think that that's the covenant that we have in Jesus. And in my exploration of that passage this week, I was kind of introduced to a new way of understanding that particular reading, and the author of one of the authors that I was reading reminded me that this is a passage, a message that is being written to the people who are living in Babylon, who are in captivity, and they're people from a community where the rule has always been that in order to do anything that has to do with the divine, you have to do it in the temple. Your sacrifices happened in the temple, and your teaching happened in the temple. And you remember when Jesus kind of went sideways and his mom couldn't find him, she found him in the temple being instructed or instructing the elders there. And the temple was the place where this all happened. In captivity, their temple has been destroyed. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The wall's been torn down. And Jeremiah brings a message from the Lord, says, you know, it's really not about being in the temple. It's really about what happens when we are together, that when we are together, when we live our lives as people of God's covenant, that we teach one another by our being together and by our doing. What we do in the world teaches the generation, and since we have the law of God in our hearts, and we teach our children and our children's children, they understand the law of God in their hearts. And I will keep them safe, even when the temple is not present or possible for them to get to. So it was like, wow, that's a very cool understanding of that passage. So I just wanted to share that with you. And then our second reading today, this is Reformation Sunday. This is the anniversary. What is it? The 502nd anniversary of the day that Martin Luther tacked his 95 theses to the door of the church there in Wittenberg and started the Protestant Reformation, and had kind of a nice conversation during the gathering after the service yesterday. I was talking to Sandy, I didn't know her last name, but is it Hope? Hogan. Sandy Hogan. So she's Heather's mom, and she's been around a little bit. But I sat down, and she said, so what's the difference between Catholics and Protestants? She said, you know, I've never been to a Protestant worship before, but she said, that was so cool. It just felt like I was at home in my Roman Catholic church. And it's like, what's the difference? And I'm saying, well, so I should talk about, well, you know, the Reformers, right? I mean, here it is Reformation weekend. What a great segue into saying, well, yeah, so we decided that you guys are nuts because you think, and I didn't go down that route. But let me read what it is that Paul wrote and that Martin Luther was reading that actually triggered in him this remarkable relief from the weight of his own sin. And a passage that, together with much of Romans, allowed Martin Luther to have the courage to stand up against a church that he believed was really dangerous and to speak a truth that brought a new hope of understanding how the world works. And so these are the words of Paul in Romans 3 and beginning in verse 19. And now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and every voice in the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Christ. What then becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also, since God is through that same faith. We do not overthrow the law by this faith, by no means. On the contrary, we uphold God's law. So, as you know, when you try to read through Romans, especially Romans, you kind of got lost in my reading and your eyes glazed over and you're thinking how nice it'd be in Hawaii. That's a perfectly fine response to reading Paul. Paul's dense and thick. And this is a passage in Paul, what's going on historically. The Emperor Claudius is taking away properties from lots of Jewish people, and he's pushing them back he's trying to get them to go back to Judah, but they're finding their way into these communities within Rome and various other places. To hold everyone accountable to these traditions that have been part of the Jewish community for a very long time. And so Paul is kind of looking through what is happening historically at this moment about the way the Roman government seems to be so impossibly powerful that the people who are subjects of the empire feel as if they have no place to be within community and are wondering if God has abandoned them altogether. And so what happens oftentimes when you feel weak is you find somebody else to be better than. And so what people are doing, Jews are doing, is they're trying to say that they are better than the Jewish, maybe live under the law or they've been circumcised or whatever exactly set of standards they have that give them this place to be better than others. That's going on, and the church in Rome, kind of like the church in Corinth that Paul had written to, is Paul made problems for himself when he wrote the book of Galatians, and he's also kind of explaining what he meant in Galatians. But that's an aside. But here we find Paul saying these very interesting things. He says, you know, that law, it's right there. It's for us to all know and to read. And I look at the law, and when I look at the law, I realize that I am a sinner. I do not honor all 618 precepts of the law. There are lots of things that I do wrong. There are lots of things that made sense maybe in a day gone by and don't particularly make sense to me today. There are things about the law that are maybe contingent on nomadic peoples who are shepherds that don't work the same way with people who live in cities like Rome or Tacoma. And that as I look at God's law and I want to take it seriously, and I do take God's law seriously, I feel like, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things that the law contains that I don't even know what they mean. I don't know how I would even do them. And if we let it, it's going to condemn everybody. And if we want to be righteous enough, none of us survive the scrutiny of God. But we are not saved by the law. And the law is not there to judge us. We are saved through the faith of Jesus Christ, who was willing to go forward into Jerusalem to confront these powers that would invalidate human beings and to lay his life on the line. Rome thinks that they killed Jesus. Rome thinks that they silenced Jesus by hanging him on a cross. And that's the way you deal with those who say things. Rome did not silence Jesus. And Rome did not control Jesus. Jesus, by his own intention, went to Jerusalem to confront Rome. And Jesus was crucified. But Jesus validates a much larger truth, that God's love is greater than the Roman power to make us fearful. That God is Lord of Christ, and Christ as our Lord of the empire. The empire did nothing but act according to God's purpose. Jesus, through his faith in God's goodness, pushed the confrontation. Jesus pushed Rome to do what Rome did, to expose the fact that Rome is a paper tiger, and we are not condemned by those who hold power in such ways. We are saved by grace. And we are saved through faith, but it's not the act of our believing that saves us. I'm not saved because I believe the right things. I'm not saved because I do the right things. I am saved because God's love extends to me in Christ. And that's enough. And my response to God's love to me in Christ is to take a look at the law again. And I want to know how to do love right. And the way that I find to do love right is I look to the law. And I understand that the greatest of the laws is that I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, my strength, my soul, and my mind, and that I love my neighbor as I love myself, and that I work for the good of my neighbor, and I work for the good of my community, and I work for the good of the world in which we live, and I stand up against the powers that would destroy human life through the violation of the crucifixion, through the wholesale pushing forward of plastic that pollutes our rivers and our oceans, by the destruction of the forests that work as the lungs of the earth, by the consumption of fossil fuels in ways that I don't need to. I need to take care of God's earth and to take care of the creatures who share this planet with us, and to take care of those creatures that are called human beings, and to love them and to reform my life in such a way that God's intentions on this Reformation Sunday. We remember that we need to always be reforming. And things that I thought were true 500 years ago, or 200 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 3 weeks ago, might be now exposed as being not the path forward that God would have us take. We need to always be aware, open to the movement of the Spirit, connected to the law of God in all of the books of Scripture, and we need to genuinely commit ourselves to being God's people right where we are and to living our lives to make a difference. Let us pray. Lord, it feels almost silly with our little cast of characters today to talk about our power in a world that seems to be run by people out there somewhere who make decisions and do things. And yet, you did create us. You saw that we were good. You gave us the purpose of taking care of your creation, and so in little ways, we can make a difference. And in big ways, we can make a difference. May we have the courage to speak your truth to your people. And may we have the courage to know your law and how you would choose for us to live in right relationship with you and with one another and with this good creation that you have entrusted to our care. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.